In 3 days, we'll celebrate the central event in human history, the coming of Jesus to live among us. But while Christians now enjoy the benefits of his birth, life, death, and resurrection, there was one person who felt great pain when he came. This is a special edition of Running to Win, helping us understand the real cost of Christmas. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, join us as Dr. Lutzer begins a thought-provoking Christmas message on the manger and the sword.
The name is Mary, and Mary comes from Mara, which means bitter. You know, sometimes when we talk about the fact that God blesses us, generally we mean that he has given us health and strength and good friends. We always identify the blessings of God with comforts that are beneficial to us. But one of the lessons that Mary had to learn, and all of us must learn at some time in our life, is that oftentimes the blessings of God are also accompanied by the great burdens of God. And sometimes when God gives us honor, with that honor there also comes hurt. Every rose has its thorns, and every hill has its valleys, and every blessing has its burdens. Remember when the angel came to Mary and said, "Hail, favored one, that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit." And Gabriel says, "You shall bear a son, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Judah, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Every Jewish maiden lived with the hope that she might be chosen of God to be the one to bear the Messiah. And that young woman, perhaps only 16 or 17 in Nazareth, by the name of Mary, was chosen by the Almighty for this special assignment. And then when the shepherds came after the birth of Jesus, it says that she pondered all these things in her heart. And then 8 days after Jesus was born, they took him into the temple. And I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2 for just a moment. Luke chapter 2, where we have the story of Simeon taking the baby Jesus in his arms. Luke 2. Beginning at verse 29, this aged prophet had the opportunity of holding in his arms God. "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed." Verse 35, "And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." Verse 32, the glory. Verse 35, the gloom. What I'd like to do today is to give you three examples of how the sword pierced Mary's soul. Three examples of how the coming of Jesus Christ and the honor that she received bore with it the terrible burden of pain, of hardship, of misunderstanding, and untold grief. The first example comes to us when the sword pierced her heart, and it was a sword of perplexity. A sword of perplexity. If you would like to, turn to Matthew chapter 2 at this point, where we have another version of the Christmas story, Matthew chapter 2. You will recall that the wise men, the Magi, come from Persia, and they come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them, willing to forego the Persian religion, perhaps take a journey that took the better part of a year. We don't know exactly how long it took, but when they came, Jesus was already in the house, and evidently Mary and Joseph lived in Bethlehem for some time after the birth of Christ. But after the Magi come to Jerusalem and then are sent to Bethlehem, they are told by God to go home without telling Herod where the Christ child was. And we pick up the story in verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod." The sword of perplexity began with a flight into Egypt. What does every young new mother want? Does she not want a home where there is a sense of stability? Does she not want an environment with her friends? Did not Mary want to be able to go back to Nazareth to be with her relatives and to be able to enjoy the birth of this baby boy together? But Mary has to become an exile. Think this through. She has in her arms the Son of God, the one who is to rule over the kingdom of Jacob. And yet they have to leave the very land in which he is to someday become a ruler, and they become exiles in Egypt. Surely she must have thought to herself, are there no perks for bearing the Son of God? Do we have to move from one part of the country to a strange land with a new language and a new environment and just make do for nearly 2 years, even though I bear in my arms the Son of God? Perplexity. Perplexity. God could have arranged it that they could have gone back to Nazareth with a full escort of angels. They could have gone back to Nazareth with Herod having instantly died. There were 1,000 different possibilities open to the Almighty to make it just a little easier. But he didn't. She had to partake of the same pushes and pulls, the same anxieties and stresses of all those who become immigrants and exiles to a new land. Perplexity. But the perplexity does not end there, because notice what Herod does. It says in verse 16, when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all of its environs, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. Perhaps Jesus was 1 year old and Herod, who loved to murder people, he was a very cruel king. Someone has said that he would rather have been Herod's sow than his son. He was a very evil man, and so what he decided to do is to give himself a wide margin and say, in light of the fact that they aren't telling me, I'm going to have all the male babies killed from 2 years old and under in the environment of Bethlehem and including the town. Now you just think about that. Soldiers march in. They ask where the children might be. They search under the beds. They go through everything and they are looking for any male child. And when they find one, they hack him to bits in the presence of his parents. That's why the Bible says that there was so much weeping and wailing all around Bethlehem. And Mary hears the news. And she knows that somehow it was because of her son that this hostility and this anger was ignited in the life of this evil king. And she bears in her breast the knowledge that it is because of Jesus that all this tragedy and the massacre takes place. And she bears it in her heart. And she can't figure it out. It's the sword of perplexity. And some of you perhaps have lived in thinking, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Surely I should be exempt from some of the difficulties of life. And there are situations that are created that just go on and on and on. And God does not deliver you from those. And you think to yourself, what is the cash value of belonging to Jesus Christ? Why doesn't He make life easier? And Mary took all these things and pondered them in her heart, the sword of perplexity. Secondly, there's another sword that pierced her heart, and that was the sword of shame, the sword of shame. Now, you must understand that when Mary was married to Joseph, she was already pregnant, and the town knew that. But I'm sure that Mary tried to explain it to her friends and say, well, you know, you've got to believe me, but an angel came and told me that I was going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. How many people do you think believed her? Even her own best friends probably said, Mary, spare me. Spare me. I don't believe your story. And as Jesus grew up and became famous and began to elicit opposition, one of the things that the Pharisees did was to capitalize on those rumors and accuse him of being conceived illegitimately. This happens in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, if you turn there for just a moment. Jesus is in the height of his ministry and is creating a great deal of conflict because of the things that he was saying. He said things that people did not appreciate at all. You'll notice he says in verse 37 of John 8 in the give and take of this argument, I know that you are Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. He's saying you claim to be Abraham's offspring and yet you are taking Abraham's most blessed son and you want to kill him.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. You know, we live at a time when Jesus clearly is misunderstood. People have so many different views about him, don't they? Your neighbors may believe in Jesus, and maybe it's Jesus the teacher, or someone else gives him credit for being a prophet. And so you have different opinions. You have scholars who disbelieve the Bible, who think that Jesus was a mere man, and on it goes. Well, be encouraged. The same kind of controversies existed when Jesus was here on earth. You read the Gospels and you discover that there was a division among the people. They simply could not agree among themselves as to who Jesus was. Was he simply a miracle worker? Was he simply a rabbi? Who was this Jesus? And the Jews, of course, they stumbled over this because as far as they were concerned, there was no way that Jesus could be the Messiah. They knew his father, Joseph. They knew that Joseph was a carpenter and that Jesus, I'm sure, as a young man, worked in his father's carpenter shop. How could someone with such a lowly background be who he would later claim to be? And that's the same issue that people have today. Well, as you know, this is the Christmas season, and that's why I've preached this series of messages. It is to help us to understand who Jesus really was, to understand the controversies that existed about him, and to come to the conclusion, as the New Testament does, that indeed he is the Lord, the Savior of the world.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought the first portion of The Manger and the Sword, a message about Mary, who paid a great price to be the mother of Jesus. Tomorrow, tune in for more of this dramatic story. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Today's message can be yours on CD, sent to you as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Christmas Running to Win.